Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah. Welcome to another edition of Monstrous Radio, where you can hear the hottest independent music in the world, and a couple remixes play. So, what we do around here is, we do interviews, play the hottest music, and we show got the hottest host.
Yeah.
So, let's go ahead and get into it. So go on, kick back, get you a drink, do what you do,
yeah,
and enjoy the show.
Let's go.
Hey. Where you at? Where you at? Where you at? Where you at?
Land.
Where you at?
Family.
Where you at?
Your.
Where you at?
Yeah.
Monstrous Radio.
What up, what up, what up, y'all? It is Karma Cafe. Are you on? Because it's just spooling. Are you here? Okay, you are here. That's DJ Monster. It was just spooling, y'all. I didn't know if he was here or not. The board is acting crazy already. What up, you?
He said, what up, you? What up, Karma Cafe? Woosta. You got problems, we're going to hood solve them. I'm ready.
You ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, the Hood Couch is ready, y'all. The Hood Couch is ready. It is Karma Cafe tonight. Call us up if you got some problems. Also, it's the Soul of Me Speak. She's going to speak also tonight. We got Who's Bumping Who, Who's Getting Fat. And if you want to join our conversation, hit us up. What's that number, DJ? D-Monster.
563-999-3411. You got to press 1 when you're feeling monstrous and you want to go.
Oh. All right, y'all. I'm going to get us started with Sanoa Aguilera featuring Pharrell Williams. And after that, Solomon Speaks. And then after that, we got another song coming up. What's This Day for Them Tonight is Karma Cafe. Let's get it. Let's go, y'all. You ready? I said, you ready?
I'm ready.
You ready? All right.
I feel like you working me tonight, no player.
Absolutely,
let's
player.
Run that.
What? What? What?
Well, let's get it, Pimp Coach.
I'm gonna tell you this one time. Boy, I want you to be mine. Can I come see you now? Can I lay with you outside? Can I touch your lips with mine? Feel that.
I totally find pleasure in the expressive, explosive, and sexual arousal I get when I introduce you into my life. Each time, it's different. And each time, I get the same response. You're like a drug. I choose and yearn for you daily. You're what I look forward to. I keep coming back to you. Oh, my goodness, you string me along like, oh, I am so addicted to you. You do things that no one could ever do. I allow you to deliberately take me to a place of delight, thrill, and bliss. That can't be denied. I don't hide you nor suppress you, nor withhold your goodness. Your loyalty, commitment, and dedication would never be denied. I find myself longing and hungering for the tone of your voice, the gratification and fulfillment on how it touches and caresses the central parts of my body. The way you have my mind crave and race for you every day, all day, is such a stimuli. The transfer of the unchangeable words sends harmony to my body. This harmonious feeling of good vibes and pulsating cadence sends my body through physical and mental phases. My heart races. My breathing speeds up and down. My skin becomes flushed, and a glow of excitement and enjoyment shows up on my face. The blood flow to my genital area becomes saturated and moist, increasing the arousement and pleasure that I receive after every performance. There is such a friction of a forceful release of sensual tension as my body shifts and shakes through a constant drive of euphoria as you're whispering in my ear over and over and over again. The penetration and deep strokes go in and out, and the rhythmic contractions, they don't stop. They keep going and going and going and going and going. You come in all forms of influence. You satisfy me all in all. When I submit to you, I can hear you satisfy me all night long. Or with a quick burst of vibrations. Whoa. You attain various positions that pleases and conforms to the vigorous arrangements, putting me in a trance as it hits my G-spot. My body is awakened from the feel of ecstasy, and the sound you make it create, I love what you do for me. Forever, forever you and me. Sincerely, music, I love you. So let me speak. It takes me to a place of ecstasy. This is Tank. Do for me. We live, y'all. Karma Cafe. Solomon Speak has spoken.
Spend this money on you. That's what a nigga like to do. If it ain't my shit, then a girl don't want it. And if it ain't my shit, then a girl won't blow it. I'll make you feel like a queen. You pick out anything, I put the bag on it. We don't even check the tag on it. I'm holding nation through a bag. I'm your paper boy. I just wanna know what's coming back for. I can make a few requests, but I'd rather not have to ask you to put in your work. I don't mind a double tax if you put in your work. Make a nigga double back when you put in work. Girl, this ain't no game. I really blew it off for you. What you gonna do for me?
Yeah.
fucking asshole. I plan to get what you asked for. Run up a check like it's nothing, girl. It's only tricking if it's not your girl. I can make a few requests, but rather not have to ask you to. Put in your work. I don't mind a double tax if you put in your work. Make a nigga double back when you put in work. Girl, this ain't no game. I really blow. What you gonna do for me? 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 Yeah. When I take you on the town, you'll be burning it down. Now I think of some things maybe I do deserve. Double bag on me just in case you really wanna ball out. We gon' have enough to play in any paper game and niggas wanna call out. I've been doing my thing for you, you should get in enough to boss out or get tossed out. What you gon' do for me? What you gon' do for me?
I'm confused. I don't know if I'm here to go whoop up. I come here to bust a nut.
Both.
Bust a nut go whoop up like a motherfucker.
Yes. Comma Cafe. Comma Cafe. Y'all woosaw? Did I get y'all woosaw?
That helped out a lot. I'll tell you that much.
That's what's
right
up.
Here in the fast lane. Yeah, dude, move that shit. Motherfucker
all
right here. I don't know what the hell. Sorry, I'm in traffic. Somebody went from the slow lane, popped in the fast lane, and he going slower than the motherfucker slow lane.
Oh.
Now I'm trying to pass him. Now he's trying to act like he on. Yeah, you see me, motherfucker. Move. Nah, it ain't no road race or nothing. No, it's just move, bitch. Get out the way. You know what it is. The fuck is wrong with you?
Are you sure it's not road rage? Are you sure? Are you
Woosah.
Sure?
Woosah.
Woosah.
I didn't throw a handful of change out my window yet. You know, I didn't throw a handful of change out my window yet. So it's not road rage. It's just move, bitch. Get out the way.
Okay.
There's levels
but
to it.
It's levels to it. Are you sure it's levels
to
it? Because it looks like I'm going to have to call my lawyer and my bank to get my the bail money ready for you, sir.
No, we good. I ain't going to make y'all no witnesses. Because I know y'all going to get a warrant. Y'all just like me. You get subpoena, you got a warrant because I ain't going to court for nobody. Not even when it's my turn. Y'all got to come get me. What you mean, show up to court? I can't talk to nobody. Y'all can't figure it out. I can't figure it out. Leave it at that. Get in.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Shit. My
you
bad.
Ain't asking.
Who's
go ahead. This is what tonight is all about.
Who's getting sad?
You put yourself
what's
on the couch for real, for
that?
Real. Yeah.
What's the
running? So, we have some land for sale. We got Nick Cannon, ex-cop. We got Tekashi. we got an update on the Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lane stuff. We got George Floyd. And we got a whole bunch of stars who went to jail in Louisville for the protest that they did. So who you want to knock down first? Oh, I can't even hear you. Kashi first, because I want to know how a lot of people feel about this being a father. So Tekashi 6ix9ine is heading to court over custody of her daughter. Tekashi has plans to reunite with his daughter once he's got the ankle bracelet on, whether his baby mama likes it or not. The rapper's lawyer tells everybody that he wants to be a part of his four-year-old daughter's life in a couple weeks when he's released from home confinement. He says a simple way to make this happen is to get the judge involved, hammer out a court arrangement, despite protests from Miss X Sarah. Lance tells us that Tekashi wants to be there for his kid, and the only reason he hasn't been there is because he's getting out of prison was for her own benefit. We're told it wouldn't have been good for Tekashi to visit in the last months. You can imagine why. Sarah says if Tekashi really wanted the relationship with his kid, there are many ways to do that, and he hasn't to this day. Sarah tells 6ix9ine that, again, on his daughter's life, he got to play by her rules or else ease back as she sees fit, not on his timetable. With that in mind, Sarah says he has no problem if his mother continues seeing the girl, which has gone well this far. It is interesting because Sarah seems willing to crack the door open for Tekashi in about 2 weeks, but how his attorney's talking, it sounds like they're trying to go over her head. Here's hoping for things to go right and then bridge the gap. How you feel about that?
Well, I mean, if you put aside who he is and what he's done, his heart is in the right place. Sometimes people, it takes them to go through some things, come around, recognize what really, really matters in life. Now, I mean, there's a lot of people listening right now, even including me. I had to go through some things to realize what really matters in life and what I should be focusing on. So on that note, you got to at least give a man a chance. But, men, I could be wrong. Hit us up, 563-999-3411. But sometimes when we do certain things, we have to be prepared to take the repercussions of it. Like, not only are you trying to, I know it sounds weird, but not only do you have to rebuild that, kindle that relationship between your child, you still have to build some type of friendship with the baby mom. Y'all don't have to be in love like y'all used to be, all that extra shit, but y'all have to be on some good-ass terms. And some of the things you may have done in the past may have burnt that bridge, maybe not to the ground, but made that motherfucker hot. So you have to go through motions to reassure the mom that you're going to do right, because you ain't show her you're going to do right. You can't just pull up and say, I'm going to do right. She know you. You've done this before. So, no, you got to put in work sometimes. It's not just going to come the birthright. You had the birthright, but you might have did some other things. You may not have, but at some point, you got to recognize, look, I got to rebuild some things in order to get back to where I want to be, what it is. And I think that's what it is for him. Like she said, when he had the chance to do all that extra, he didn't do all that extra. Right now, it seems like a fame game to him. Oh, he's trying to act like he a daddy now, huh? Oh, that's what you want to do? Oh, now you want to be in threat and danger. People want your head for snitching, one of the biggest things that'll get you hit in the street. And now you want to pick up the daughter and hang out with her? Now, right now, man, you got some healing to do in order to gain that right again. I could be wrong, but I'm just saying. Like, people got to stop. And that goes for women that, you know, because sometimes it be the man with the child. Like, you can't just do heinous shit and then just wake up one day and go, oh, I'm righteous. That's my birthright. Yeah, it's your birthright. You have an opportunity to prove yourself right. You can't just be like, oh, yeah, well, where was you? You caused pain. That's where sometimes people forget. Okay, yeah, God, you be like, I changed that. But don't forget, you caused pain. Some of them wounds are still open. There's a lot of work to be done. So you can't sometimes, man, we can't just be like, okay, I've been gone this time. Yeah, I was out here doing whatever. Now I want to get right. And I'm going to stand on mine and then just show up and be like, yeah, I'm going to get right now and expect everybody to fall in order. Part of you getting right is amending the flaws that you have, you know, and the pain. Y'all get what I'm saying, hopefully. I mean, am I wrong, Miss Unbelievable? Am I wrong? Is that a wrong way of thinking?
Oh, absolutely not. I totally 100% hands down can't even argue, totally agree with you. Because I think, you know, so many times, you know, we forget that your reaction has caused a react. Like, you going to jail for the magnitude of what you went to jail for, it has caused not only your life to be in danger, but everybody's life to be in danger. Because they could have retaliated at any given time to take away what you love the most. Because that's how people do. And so you got to step back and say, what's good for me? And what's good for my family. And sometimes we forget that we may have to sacrifice what's good for them over how we feel until we really have got it together. You know, and sometimes I feel like, yeah, some women use it against them, you know, and ask for frivolous stuff. But when it's something that this serious and this heinous, you got to understand. It's about the child safety and what's that going to do for your child. You ain't been there. She hasn't seen you. So now she has to deal with the abandonment issue, coming my dad's reappearing. Are you going to disappear again? So all those factors she has to deal with or he has to deal with, and y'all just because you want to just show up on the mom because the mom or dad is not doing what you asked them to do, y'all forget about this children. Especially when you poison them child's head to have something, you know, that's not true about the father or mother, and then here we go. Now we got a wounded child trying to decide who's right within herself when the parents are not there or the parent can't be there. So I think it's wrong. I think, you know, truth on all levels have to be given. But your main focus has to be your children, has to be your children. It can't be, oh, since you wasn't here, you put me out. You wouldn't let me be here. You know what I'm saying? We got to stop that. That's not fair. That's not fair to the kids. It's not fair to the kids. Well, you weren't here. You wouldn't allow me to be here. Well, because I didn't suck up and do what you asked me to do, that's not fair, especially if you didn't really do anything wrong. But in Tekashi's situation, hell yeah, he did something truly wrong, and that it's not an easy thing to come back and just be like, yeah, I'm dad, so let me work. No, bruh, it doesn't go like that. And I know all situations are different, but women, we got to stop using the baby over the kids. We do. We use them as pawns, and they become so tore up inside. And they wonder why, and then when they get the real answer, then they got to go past and get past, you know, what mom did. You know, now they mad at mom, now they mad at dad, now they go out and act up. It's that vicious cycle. Why? When we could just nip it in the butt right now and just do what we got to do as grown folks. Easier said than done, but it can be done. Hoo-sa. Ha-ha. Woo. I think everybody can understand that. I think everybody has been through that or know someone who's been through that. Like, I have a friend right now. The baby's 4. The mom has killed the guy that she knew. Now the baby's living with the parents, the relatives of the guy that she knew, but who the mom, you know, killed. And he's all messed up. He pees on himself. He poops on himself. He's angry at everybody. He's not talking. He's 4. He's witnessed all kind of stuff. He's been tossed to this parent's house, talks to father who can't come and be with him, and he's in the middle, being a pawn. How unfair.
Oh.
And he's four. And these are the four-year-olds that become seven-year-olds who gun down people in the street because they don't have no thought of it because they lost their feelings.
Right.
Hoosah. So, moving on. Well, we think about this. George Floyd, and we knew it was coming. So, let us remember, George Floyd family sued City of Minneapolis for allowing neck restraint. They're filing a civil suit against the state of City of Minneapolis. The civil lawyer's attorney has said the stakes are enormous. The family is suing four officers who are now criminally charged. The reality is that the officers didn't have the kind of money that typically makes a civil lawsuit worthy, so they entered the City of Minneapolis into the four officers' name. And it can't be sued unless approved by the policy, either explanation or way of custom. So the city's long trained its officers to use neck restraints, claiming that they were an authorized form of non-deadly force. The fact is, it's simply not true that it is that is a non-deadly force, and the city would have to be blind not to know that. Fact is, the technique has been used since 2012 on 428 people nationwide, and 14% lost consciousness. And if the city officials turned on the news, they would know some of these cases were fatalities. So it is a lethal force. The suit claims poor training and discipline. They claim probationary officers, the new officers, were not allowed to question their supervisor. That works against the city. But if the argument the two rookie cops are making in the criminal case, that's helping the civil case. The family is seeking a big amount of money. They're not disclosing how much just yet, so we'll keep you updated on that.
Yeah, I also seen a thing that was on the news today that, you know, they keep saying that, you know, he was on Floyd's neck for 8-some-odd minutes. But they said they went back and looked at it, and it was a more like 9-something. Yeah. And there was I believe it was 9-something. And then they checked on him, or they, you know, checked on his pulse and everything, and said they couldn't get one. And then they were still restraining for another 3 minutes before. But don't quote me on that part. I need to get the actual thing. But yeah, so they said now, it was longer than 8 minutes. It was 9 minutes and some odd seconds. So it's like, it's just, it's just. And they said so one of the problems they were, when they were trying, what they were saying, the problem they were having was, because, you know, if you see on the thing, you see them, they try to put Floyd in the car, whatever, whatnot, saying that he's saying, was it claustrophobic? Is that how you say it?
Claustrophobic, yeah.
Yeah, he was telling them that's what it, he had claustrophobia, so, you know. But, yeah, there's going to be what? There's going to be a lot of things that's going to pop out. I'm surprised that even popped out. Because, you know, they're so tight on that case right now, they don't want to let no information leak. So, you know, it could taint anything. So, but I guess they said they got this footage off of the actual body cam. So, if I'm not mistaken, that may be public record. So, if it's public record, then obviously we're not going to mind releasing the information.
They have a lot of people saying different times, so I don't know what's the correct time. They're saying that it 9 minutes was because they added some time, and they say in 7 minutes, and they took away some time. Either way it go, it was a long time. Because
right.
I know when I decided, when they asked everybody to be still for those 8 minutes and 60 whatever seconds, I was like, oh my God. I was like, this a long time. This a long time. It was like super long, and it was almost like, you know how your emotions begin to build up as you're standing there and you can't do nothing about your emotions. And if anyone knows, you know, or have been arrested by a cop or have, you know, some authority, authority over them, you feel your life is in danger in some kind of way. So you begin to feel the emotions of, could I die? Am I going to die? Oh, I'm about to die. Oh, my God. And you can't tell me, like, in those seconds that he didn't have all those emotions. I'm going to miss my kids. I'm going to miss my family. Oh, my God. You know what I'm saying? Because when we're in something, we go through those emotions. Oh, my God. It feels like I'm going to die. Da-da-da. We go through those emotions. Just in those long seconds and on the ground, with everybody looking and they not saving you, the trauma.
Right.
So I know that little girl who videotaped it is probably still going through trauma, because we could probably just imagine and feel how that person was feeling. And Tawusa, oh my God. Like, when you got pulled over by the police being a black man, how does that, how did that make you feel, you know?
Well, I know when you see the motherfucking lights go on, the first thing you say, you go into, like, I don't know if you want to say a military mode or something, but the first thing you say is like, okay, here we go. What we going to get tonight? Real deal, real still right there. That's the first thing I say. Okay, here we go, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. So the first thing I want to know, who's going to show up at my window? That's my first. Who is going to show up at my window? And you can tell how it's going to go by who shows up at your window. If the dude comes knocking on your damn window, net, I need this with an attitude. Oh, it don't matter. You're going to be in the back of that car regardless. There's nothing you can say. There's nothing you can do. Only thing you can try to do is be as calm as you can while you're about to go through this bullshit. That's about all you can do.
Mm-hmm.
Now, depending on the type of day you had, that's a whole nother factor. But if you had one of them days where this is all I can stand and I can't stand no more.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said in one of your spoken words a couple weeks back, in that 1 second, that one moment, that one action can change your whole life.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's anxiety. I'm not going to say it's really like, I'm not going to say there's not no fear, but I think it's more anxiety. More anxiety when you get pulled over. It's a high level. And I mean, usually if I get pulled over, I don't do much. I'm not out there like that. I'm not about that life. You know what I mean? So, yeah. My first thing is, here we go, ladies. You know what I mean? What did I do? God, oh, Lord, what did I do now? Did I do anything? I'm evaluating. I'm checking myself. Did I run a light? No, I couldn't have run. You must have run a light. Oh, damn. One of my tail lights must have went out. Fuck. What could it be? Because it can be something as simple as you don't have a light over your license plate.
Mm-hmm.
Simple as that.
I got pulled over for that. Mm-hmm. I got pulled over for that.
I couldn't believe that was actually a charge.
And I panicked. Like, I was like, oh, my God, why am I getting stopped? I literally panicked. I felt myself panicking. Like, I was almost going through a panic attack. And I had to, you know, talk myself, calm down. And I'm like, I know I stopped all the way. I know I did this. I know I did that. But then sometimes you automatically know they're going to pull me over. You automatically know sometimes. And you just sit there and just be like, oh, okay, they ain't got shit to do. Here we go. Here we go.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Is it ticket time? Do they need to make an extra ticket this week?
Yeah.
But, you know, but sometimes you'll get a winner. Ding, ding, ding,
mm-hmm.
ding, ding, dinner. And you'll get a cop. That's cool. That'll be like, just, you know what I mean? Just be careful. Get this taken care of. You know, do this, do that. You know, you'll be all right. I'm going to give you a warning just so you don't get down the street and another cop pull you over and give you a ticket. So I'm going to give you a warning right here, but you got to get that taken care of. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, it all depends on who walks up to my window.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're about to have a music break. Woo, we breaking it down. We woosawing for real tonight, y'all. This is a serious, serious conversation. We got some more coming up right now. Woosaw, we about to put some Young T and Bugsy. Don't rush. Here we go, Karma Cafe.
Blow your lights down.
Don't rush, slow touch, brown on white. Like I go country, carbon by. We can go bust, eye for eye. We can lose trust, white rum. Easy pop, where you they go, go, we they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go off, slam the trash. Man, it's so tough. Alright, yo, put the belly on the body, make a clutch. She no watch, now she wanna give crutch. Boy got peas, now she hopping in the pod. Man, a real life sugar gal, and my forget what. When she want dark, told her meet me at the top. Switching lanes the other day, I seen her waiting for a bus. Maybe just a Moncler sweater, diesel denim. Buy another one, my pockets fat like heather. Neck froze like I don't know no better. Benzo truck, white seats and they leather. Go broke never, on my grind. She make it clap like I'm Busta Rhyme. I got the juice, the sauce and all them things. I blammed her twice a night with all my bling. Big Benz, I drive, I brought that thing. Any girl you want, they want my thing. Don't rush, slow touch, brown and white. I can go country, grab and buy. We can go bust, eye for eye. We can lose trust, white rum, easy pop. Where you they go, go, we they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go off. Slam the trash, man it's so tough. Flood my eyes, make a whole blush. Back of the tour bus, getting cool up. D-square, got on de-stressed. Got a hand wash, new racks with the old Nikes in the shoebox. Keep my stripes, no cuss. Pull up in a new plate, then she might just. She went trying to move bait when her eyes locked. New tints on the coupe, that's a head loss. Off my whites, right my rungs. Bitchy my mum, why you to do your thumbs? Count my sums, this is gonna get long. Love my green, I'm trying to get strong. Trying to get on, where I'm from, it's fun. Man, don't take no dumb threats. They see funds, they hop friends. We been up, not up. Next. Don't rush, slow touch, brown and white. I can go country, grab and buy. We can go bust, eye for eye. We can lose trust, quite wrong. Easy pop, where you they go, go, we they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go off. Slam the trash, man, it's so tough.
And introduce them. The one and only. Big truck, no clutch. Wrist rolls, don't touch. French Siri, I'm so drunk. Cause I can't drink and drive, where's my chauffeur? Find the work car, with the cold car. I really hold this time, I work, I don't flush. See, I was in the works, now my penthouse at the top. Shay said they're best friends, I bet they both fuck. As they both cuss, cause they said I sold drugs. And when you're down, ain't nobody around. Watch to come back, when you blow up. I got my jacket, but my heated seats help me warm up. First train to Inverary, I used to go up. It's ironic, I just sold out my show in Scotland. Used to say I wanna put Tottenham on a map, but one day I'ma change the map in Tottenham.
Don't rush, slow touch, brown and white. I can go country, grab and buy. We can go bust, eye for eye. We can lose trust, white rum, easy pop. Where you they go, go, we they go up. Catch my vibe, let me go off. Slam the trash, man it's so tough.
Sponsors for tonight's show with SolomonSeats.com, Monster US Apparel, Picasso Painting, Elite Sway Management, and eMonster.com. We back. Woo. All right. So, An ex-Honolulu cop gets 4 years in prison after making homeless man lick the urinal. A former police officer in Honolulu spends 4 years behind bars after forcing a homeless man to lick a public restaurant urinal or risk an ass whooping. The cop John was sentenced Wednesday and got scolded from U.S. District Judge, who told the ex-cop, "You took from him his only possession, his dignity as a human being." John and another ex-cop, Officer Reginald, found the homeless man inside the stall of a public restaurant after responding to a nuisance complaint. Reginald and John threatened to beat the crap out of the homeless man and stuff his face in a toilet if he didn't lick the urinal. John accused of stepping on the man's leg to keep him on his knees until he completed with a disgusting demand. His partner pled guilty to not reporting the gross violation of someone's civil rights. He'll be sentenced next week. That is so nasty. That man got 4 years.
I know he's pissed off about it, but he deserved it.
Absolutely.
They gave
and
him
I like how she said
whatever it was.
And I like how she said he took away the only thing that he had. I like what she said, his dignity. I like that because they did. 4 years. Let's see what the other cops that's here who killed someone gets. I'm just saying. He took his life anyway. They took his life. Let's see if it's going to be equal. Nick Cannon. Sorry to my Jewish sisters and brothers. He was ashamed of his words. Nick Cannon has two situations going on. His eyes has been opened to the horrible anti-Semitic things he said as he's offering an apology. One that might have saved his Masked Singer's gig. 24 hours after Viacom cut all ties with Nick for his anti-Semitic remarks he made in a podcast, he says, "First and foremost, I extend my deepest and most sincere apology to my Jewish sisters and brothers for the hurtful and devised words that came out of my mouth during my interview with Richard Griffin." He continues, "They enforce the words, stereotypes of a proud and magnificent people, and he feels ashamed of his uninformed and naive place that words came from." Him and Nick, Professor Griff, of ex-public, Public Enemy member, they was talking about comments he made in the late 80s about Jews spreading wickedness around the world. On the podcast, Nick says he couldn't be anti-Semitic because black people are the real Semitites. He also said Griffin was speaking the truth and repeating long-held, going back to Hitler stereotypes about Jews controlling banks and much of the world's wealth. While he got tons of backlash online, Viacom asked him, saying the rabbis needs to teach him and educate him on the history lesson over what the Jewish community has been going through. Fox said that they will keep Nick on regarding the podcast. They felt it was clear and he did a remorseful apology. And based on their conversation, he is committed to strengthening the bonds between black and the Jewish culture. He also has taken down Professor Griff's episode of his podcast. P. Diddy said, "Come join over where we are, Nick. There's always a home for you." And Nick has demanded the company give him ownership of his show, Wildin' Out.
What? You said Nick
what?
What?
He's asking for the demand to have his show Wildin' Out, because that's on Viacom.
Oh, right. Okay.
Go ahead. I just said, well, you know.
Well, one of the things, I can't stick up for nobody else. I can only go off of perception from my life. I think on a lot of cultures, especially ours, are misinformed on what certain cultures really are. You dig? Like, there was a time when that's all they pumped was, you know, how bad Jews were, how bad Jews are, were, whatever, whatever. How they've been forever pumping how bad or how they think that we are black people. You know, it goes across the board. Even there's white people. You know, you call certain people terrorists when you see them. You're misinformed on, you know, whenever some people think of Muslims, they got us thinking everybody Muslim has a bomb, wants to have a bomb strapped to them, want to blow up everybody. That's not what that is. So I think a lot of people are misinformed. Obviously, this is an era. He did this thing in an era where he was misinformed on what the Jewish culture really is and what it's about. And that's what it is. But I think we got to look at ourselves as, you know, we can't be no black Nazi. What I mean by black Nazi means we can't be saying, oh, everybody else is bad for black power. Nah, that's not cool. It's not going to happen that way. I mean, yes, we want power, but we want power to the people, which, you know, and power to our people. But, you know, it has to be like that. It can't be where, you know, people are like, this one culture, this, that. And I think that's what that was. But we're going to be held accountable for what we say, just like Barbecue Becky, Karen, everybody else is being held accountable. So you got to watch what you say. And that's why I always said before, like, you got to learn how to correct your emotions, especially before a conversation. I mean, don't get me wrong. I understand it was a podcast. You know what this is about. The podcast is about the wow factor. If you say some off the landish shit, like right now, I could come off say the I don't know, whatever you want to say, outlandish shit, and it'll go viral after all that information we give week in and week out about how to better yourself, how to, you know, be righteous, how to, you know, conduct yourself and with morals and principles and follow your dreams and all. That's all they're going to say is the outlandish stuff that I had said. And
yeah.
So we got to be aware of the things that we say as well about other cultures.
True. I mean, I understand, in a sense, what Nick was trying to say and trying to defend, because, you know, when the song came out, when, you know, the Griff came out, you know, in the 80s, they had their own view on racism at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So each generation, there was a different type of fight that we were fighting for. And it was so close to the 70s where, true enough, some of the Jews didn't like black people. You couldn't shop at Jewish stores. You couldn't step over in Jewish land. There was a separatism there, but that was then.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That was then.
Yeah.
With everything, everybody is evolving. Everybody else is, you know, seeing things differently. And I understand why he would say, oh, you know, McGriff, you know, at that time, had a right, not a right, but had a free speech to say that's how he felt, because maybe, you know, he went through some of that growing up. Because we're talking about an older generation who went through some of, you know, discrimination from the Jews. Even though the Jews went through discrimination too as well, they discriminated. We as black folks discriminate. White folks discriminate. Everybody at a certain point in their life, at some point in their life, has discriminated against some type of someone. It's just like you said, how you say it to make sure that you're not creating another problem and you're not creating another something to say, hey, you're racist. That was insensitive. You're anti-Semitic. So you definitely have to be careful what you say, because everybody does have a story to tell about someone discriminating against them. And if that's how they felt at that time when they shared it using their free speech, you can't go back and now and say in 2020, oh, yeah, that's still going on. that's where Nick, you know, messed up. You can't say that.
Right.
But maybe at that time, in that century, hell yeah, there was that going on. Because they were healing just as well as black folks were healing. They were asking for freedom just as well as black folks were asking for freedom. They were asking for rights just as black folks were asking for rights. So it's like you have to have a different conversation when it comes to that. Yeah, I agree. That's maybe what happened, but this is where we are now. Nick could have just, you know, went about it a whole different way than what he went. But you got to live and you got to learn. And like you said, we say some stuff, you know, that people may not agree, but it's our thoughts, not always right. But our thoughts not always right,
right
though. We do got to watch what we
right.
say.
Yep.
So I want to go here. There are, from Georgia to Nevada, there are 12 towns for sale. You guys, they're towns. So there's a town in Tombsboro, Georgia, that is on sale for $2.5 million. There's a town for sale in Montana. There's a town for sale in Wyoming. There's a town for sale in Washington. There's a town for sale in France, in South Dakota, Montana again, Texas, Florida, Idaho, Nevada, and the price tags are ranging from $150,000 to $250,000 to $1 million. So I'm telling you people, y'all can own your own town. Y'all could own your own town.
Some of y'all wouldn't know what to do if you owned your own town. You own you owe your own self taxes. About a bitch. Some of y'all can't even cut your grass right. The hell y'all gonna do owning a city? That's what's up though. But I just want to know, was there a city, was there a town called France in America? Because if you went like, France, South Dakota, North, I'm like, hold up, how are you going to throw France next to South Dakota and North Dakota?
No, it was somewhere in France. There's one in France, a town in France. I know time is, you know, getting short, but I got to say this, and I got to get to the other ones. Caitlyn Jenner. Y'all know who Caitlyn Jenner is, right?
Is that which
yeah,
is that like the youngest daughter?
No, that's Bruce Jenner. Her name is Caitlyn. No, it's Bruce. It's Caitlyn. It's Bruce. You remember she changed her name?
Oh, daddy's not. Okay. Yeah. Caitlyn. Yeah.
Caitlyn. Hey, Kanye, I'll be your running mate. Hey.
Oh, my God.
Caitlyn Jenner wants Kanye West to keep his presidential bid in the family, and she's already positioning herself to be Yeezy's vice president. Caitlyn was walking back to her car after grabbing some Starbucks and said, yes, I'll be his running mate. Caitlyn thinks they make a pretty awesome combination on the birthday party ticket. And while it sounds like she's joking about Yeezy's Veep, you can exactly run it out by himself. Kanye entered the race. We broke the story. Yeezy filed a second set of documents today in Oklahoma because he missed the deadline in Florida, a battleground state. Kanye told his Michelle to be Tab Michelle Tidball to be his running mate in his instant and famous interview with Forbes. But she comes with a lot of baggage and has yet to formally accept the invitation. Caitlyn sees an opportunity and shooting her shots. Now the ball is in Kanye's court. Let's keep it in the family, dog. And who was asking about that picture yesterday that I sent? Where he at? Well, he wants to be the running mate.
Look,
what?
Don't want people to take this the wrong way. But if I was sitting in front of Caitlyn right now, and they asked me to interview Kate right now, I say, nigga, what is you doing? That's the one time I would say it. God damn it. You ignorant son of a. No. Like I said, don't take this the wrong way, people. No, we're not going to let that. We're not going to let this even fucking play in your mind that this might be the leaders of the free world, the so-called free world. You know what? I'm going to stop because they're going to pull a plug on the whole station. We just going to stop right now. I'm going to stop. How you feel about it? That's what I want to know. How you feel about it? Caitlyn and Kanye. Do we call them KK? Kanye and Caitlyn?
KK, the KK crew. You know what? Like I said before, I think those people are geniuses over there. I'm not going to lie.
I don't know what the hell going on with them, but no.
They have a way about them that makes you be like, I ain't vote for you, but this is a pretty good movie. It's like
reality
a great
show.
Reality show. Like, hell yeah. Because, you know, the crazy thing is, Caitlyn will pull all the other folks that Kanye can't pull. The men and the women. You know, his fans and his supporters of who he is and what he's become and how he's changed and all those wonderful things. This is a sitcom that is just amazing because you got to remember Kim K. She got her own people and they will want her to be the first lady, you know, because. But the difference is she will have something to say. She would talk about prison reform. I mean,
that's messed up. That's the only way they're going to get the black vote.
Kim.
Because they're going to be like, Kim, okay, at least she got something. At least she got her head on right. She's trying to save some people
does.
From prison. Blah, blah, blah. But Kanye,
I mean, they know how to handle black people because all of them had several black folks. Had the most difficult ones. They know how to deal with situations that is out of control. If you
have a better
scripted. I'm just saying, if Tyler Perry couldn't script this, this is a great sitcom. Like, I don't know about you, but this is a great sitcom. I mean, I will watch it. Like, I will watch it. I don't watch their sitcom now, but this sitcom right here, I would watch it. And I would be involved in it, but I would watch this dilemma because it's almost like the fuckery and foolishness with Trump. And you'd be like, this can't happen. This won't happen. This can't happen. Well, Jesus, this might can happen.
Goodness. Well, damn it. See, I hate it when people be bullshitting because I'll find some logic. There is some logic in there, though. Think about it, though. Think about it. I know I said what I said about Kanye. Y'all back up off me. I said what I said, and I mean what I said. When I say what I say. When I said what I said. But think about it, though. If Kanye was president, he would actually do something for us, I think. Like all the other everybody talking about, ain't nobody really fuck with us. Everybody use us to get in the office. But what have they really, really done? Like, what president has stepped up and said, there's not going to be no more of this police brutality on my run? I'm going to start charging these police officers with what they've done. Don't get me wrong. There might be a couple that went in there and say, okay, this case right here, we're going to let this guy go. But the whole system needs to be looked at like that. Overhaul. There's a lot of people that's sitting in jail that shouldn't be in jail. Like, there ain't none that did it, but you get what I'm saying. I think if there is somebody right now that would be like, we're going to stop this police brutality and we're going to charge every police. I'm going to send the feds in there. I'm going to send everybody after these police officers that's out here doing bad in the community. I think he'd be the one to do it.
You know, don't get me wrong. I think Kanye could hit the small stuff, but I don't think he's ready for the big stuff. I don't think he's ready for the, you know, run the world. You know who run the world? Not Kanye. I don't think Kanye can handle what mess that Trump has made. I think we need someone who's seasoned to help fix what Trump did, and then in 2024, Kanye run it in 2024, run it. But 2020, nah, let someone seasoned come in and fix the mess, and then you in 2024, I think you could win it. Actually, I do. But now, how much shit done went down and what needs to be fixed? Nah, you can't handle that mess. You can't even a seasoned one can't handle these messy boots that has happened. But that was this, you know, breaking news. Here's some news. Yandy Smith, Tamika Mallor, and Portia Williams, and our NAACP president all was arrested over the weekend in Louisville as they protested for Breonna Taylor's death. There was a dozen of demonstrators who got locked up because they went outside the home. They were sitting peacefully. They say others have not yet, you know, they were standing outside of jail protesting. The lady's been arrested and booked on felony charges of intimidating a participant in legal process. The participant is Cameron, the attorney general, who is now investigating Breonna's case. Which is ridiculous. They all said if they said they rather have went to jail for Breonna Taylor than anything in the world. So they are proud to have went to jail. I don't know how that's gonna work with Yandy, because Mandisi, you know, she can't be around felons. He can't be around people who's been, because he's a felon, arrested. So, but she's standing for what she believes in. So big ups to them.
All right. No matter what you think of them, that shows that they're freedom fighters. When people say I'm willing to go to jail for a cause, those are what you call freedom fighters. Everybody else is just upset. Now, I'm not saying people ain't doing their part, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, but a lot of people are going to being freedom fighters for Breonna Taylor because her case is just so messed up. So messed up. Just so messed up. Like, whew. Yeah. But last story. So remember I was talking to you about Megan Thee Stallion and Tory Lanez? Well, Tory Lanez allegedly shot Megan, but witnesses are not cooperating. Tory Lanez opened fire on Megan early Sunday morning after arguing with her and her friend, according to the source directed to the investigation. She wasn't cut by glass. She was actually shot in the foot. She had emergency surgery. An argument started after a group left the Hills with a chauffeur driver. Megan and her friend Kelsey wanted out of the vehicle. Sources say Tory opened fire inside the vehicle and allegedly hit Megan in the foot twice. Tory was pulled over. When they pulled over, they got pulled over by the cops, and the cops had them, you know, get out the car. Tory was arrested. He did shoot her. Also, initial reports cops with someone had fired a gun in the air, not at someone. Megan Lee at first said that she cut her foot on glass. She is the victim in this case. The police has listed her from the start. They're still not telling what has happened. No one is cooperating. No one is willing to testify to prove the case against Tory. However, police notified that there's cell phone video of the shooting. The law enforcement is asking for the video. Again, witnesses are not coming forward. It is dramatically hurting the case. they were saying Tori and Megan were seen hugging at the pool party. So they're not for sure what the argument was, but it's between these two lovers or together or whoever. And why mm-hmm. they want to get out the car, they're not for sure. So Tori shot Megan. She's just ready to get back to work.
I'm just in wow. I don't know what to tell you. Well, if you got stock in Tory Lanez, you might want to dump it. Oh, they.
Quick, fast, and a hurry.
Damn, Tori. Fuck. Bruh, come on, bruh. You don't shoot the girl in the pinky toe. Vera just whooped your ass.
Right.
Let me stop.
I'm trying not to be petty, and I'm trying to figure out what Megan song I want to play. Savage, She's a Bitch, Big Ol' Freak. We gotta go out strong tonight. No, we petty.
Bitch. That's what we gonna call it anyway.
Stop. Yes. Yes.
Bitch.
All right.
Shot in the foot ass, bitch. Couldn't get out the car fast enough ass, bitch.
You know. You wrong.
Hell, we gonna call it anyway. Listen to the song. Shit. Don't be mad at me.
Right.
I didn't produce
it.
Well,
why you say that? Let's listen to the song.
I'd rather keep it real with ya.
We out,
keep
y'all.
Keep it real, baby. Woo
keep
bye.
It real.
Real hot girl shit.
Friday Night Live tomorrow.
It ain't always about
Ooh.
What you like. Sometimes it's about what's right.
I'd
rather be your B-I-T-C-H. Cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. The bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H. Cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. The bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? Why you wanna play with me? You know I'm undefeated. A real hot girl know how to keep a nigga heated. You say you want respect, well treat me how you wanna be treated. You told me keep it real, but you don't practice what you're preaching. You want me to blow your phone up and come and looking for you till I find you. You really want me to book the hoe that you fucking with if I find her. Bitch, you ain't that busy. I don't give a fuck what you ain't got time for. You look me in my eyes and know you lying, man. That's far, bro. Man, you knew I was a player, so you made me need to relax. You know that you gon' hate me if I keep the plan. Get back, I ain't turning to no damage when you met me, boy. I been there. You trying to make me something that I ain't with that. I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H. Cause that's what you gon' call me when I'm tripping anyway. You know you can't control me, baby. You need a real one in your life. Your bitches ain't gon' give it to you, right? I'd rather be your B-I-T-C-H.
We out, y'all. You got any last words?
Hey.